okay. If you don't empower your people, it will produce organizational retrogression. The opposite of progression. You ought not to be afraid if your people become giants. It is the deepest joy when you mentor someone and he or she grows. And it's hard to explain. A guy named Manny Nisperos was a brand manager in Procter & Gamble. I was vice president in Del Monte. We hired Manny Nisperos to become group product manager in Del Monte. Very good guy, very intelligent. We mentored him. 2 years later, he becomes marketing director. 2 years later, we assigned him to new business director. And he told me, Alex, in marketing, it's a very secure job. I've got a big budget, and we have very high market shares. In new business, I mean, 9 out of 10 new businesses fail. I'm afraid I will fail here. You will not fail. I will do your performance appraisal in light of that 9 out of 10 failure rate. In fact, I'm afraid, Zabiko, your transfer to new business will round you off. You will not just be a marketing person. You will be an entrepreneur. Magiging general management ang profile mo. I was thinking of myself and Paul when he told me, I want to look at you not just as a marketing person. I want to look at you as a marketing and operations person because I want to look at you as a general manager. That's exactly what I told Manny. True enough, he believes in me, he goes into new business. 2 years later, he is pirated by Ladies' Choice to become, ultimately, country manager of Taiwan. So, I give him my blessing, he becomes general manager of Taiwan. The business, 2 years later, is sold. He loses his job, comes back to the Philippines, becomes general manager of Safi. Safi is UFC ketchup. Mang Tomas, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Safi is owned by Butch Campos of the United Lab family. Butch Campos, together with San Miguel, years later, I'm already out of Del Monte, acquired Del Monte, Philippines. Okay? Well, guess who they bring back to Del Monte, Philippines from Safi? Manny Nisperos. He's now head of strategic planning in Del Monte, his old company. 2 years later, they need a vice president for Mindanao operations, cannery and plantation, where 5,800 of the 6,000 employees of Del Monte work. It's our biggest operation. Guess who is assigned vice president Mindanao operations? Manny Nisperos. Last year, Del Monte Philippines, listed as Del Monte Pacific in Singapore, acquires Del Monte USA. Would you believe that? Del Monte Philippines, listed as Del Monte Pacific in Singapore, acquires Del Monte USA. The subsidiary acquires the mother company. Guess who they make overseer of Del Monte USA? Manny Nisperos. Okay? My Manny Nisperos. He lands in San Francisco in May of 2014, texts me, Alex, by the way, in all of his career moves, I get a call from him and we have coffee. Should I take this job or should I not take it? I go for it. You were made for that job. Should I go to operations or should I not? Go for it. In other words, the transformational conversations were occurring every time with Manny. And he's always asking me for my opinion. He lands in San Francisco. Alex, he texts me, I have a $5,000 a month condo rental, okay, courtesy of the company. I can see the San Francisco Bay. I can see Alcatraz. I can see the Golden Gate Bridge. Sabi niya, I have 3 big bedrooms, 1 bathroom each. When Lelo and you, my wife, when you go to the U.S. in the West Coast, please do not check in into a hotel. You have a home here in my condo. Manny Nisperos has become a giant. He is responsible for a business 10 times bigger than Del Monte Philippines, of which I was president. He is my giant. Am I sad that he became a giant? No, I'm in fact overjoyed. Are we still the best of friends? Yes. Does he consider me his mentor? Yes, to my pride and joy and honor. Did it subtract anything from me? No, in fact, it added a lot to me. So do not be afraid to empower people. I will give you 1 minute to take the test on page 57. How empowering a leader are you? Take 60 seconds. Scale of 10. You have to work on all ratings 7 and below, okay? Work on all ratings 7 and below. All right. Closing the session. What do you do with poor performers? Okay. Click that slide, please. What to do with poor performers? You've done everything. Wala pa rin. I offer you the 3T solution. Number one, train. What? Yes, all over again, just in case. I call this the strategy of minimum regret. So that if you have to part with people, you can sleep well at night. Because you have not left one stone unturned, okay? Don't train forever, okay? Depending on the rank of the individual, kung rank and file, you expect results in 1 or 2 weeks. Supervisory, a bit longer. Managerial, a bit longer, and so forth, and so forth. Kung wala pa rin, you trade, but only under the following conditions. The individual is competent, but the two of you have poor chemistry. There is a vacancy elsewhere, and the individual qualifies, and the manager there will accept this individual. You have to practice integrity. Do not transfer your problematic people to others. That is the 11th commandment. Did you hear about it? Thou shalt not export thy people problems to other departments. Pare, kung ano ito, magaling ba? Oh, pare, basta ang bala. Sa'yo, kunin mo yan. I mean, if you have to deal with your people mess, you deal with your people mess. Deal with your own people mess. Do not export your people problems to others, okay? You terminate if you have to. But there's a way to terminate that does not sever the relationship, okay? In Del Monte, if you are terminable, I will give you 30 days to look for a job. But I tell you, okay, I want a resignation letter right now. You date it 30 days from today. Between now and 30 days from now, you are free to look for a job full-time. You don't have to show up in the office. And I will cover for you. 30 days from today, with or without a job, you're out, my friend. Okay? Now, what does that do? What that does is you resigned. I did not fire you. So when people call us, malinis ang record mo. Isn't that humane? Okay? So that's how we do it. Okay? And you do it well. There are procedures. I mean, you know, you don't want the people to complaining to the National Labor Relations Commission that they were fired unjustly. Okay? So, this is how it happens. The National Labor Relations Commission will say, Mr. Del Monte, this executive is claiming that he was unjustly terminated. What do you say? Your Honor, mali po yan. Meron po kami performance appraisal. Ito po, needs improvement. Okay. Did the individual get a copy of the appraisal? Yes, sir. Ito, nakapirma. Okay. Did you give the individual enough time to improve before you terminated the individual? Yes, sir. In fact, Your Honor, I have a second appraisal 6 months later. Needs improvement pa rin. Kumbaga, wala hong nagbago. Alam ba ng executive? Opo, nakapirma rin po, sir, ito. See? We do it properly. It's in writing. So the National Labor Relations Commission will say, Mr. Executive, you have no case. Case dismissed. If you do it well. If you don't do it well, you get into trouble. Anyway, my people know, those who I have fired, they know. I still love them. But they can't work for me anymore. And we have cordial relationships, civil relationships. Hindi siya personal. It's very professional. All right. We're finished with session 4. We're now on session 5. Five ways to become a five-star people manager. Number one, make sure five structures and processes are in place. Number two, nurture, cultivate influence, not authority. Number three, develop a menu of leadership styles. Number four, mentor, coach, then empower your people. We're now on the final session before closing. Nurture the attitudes and values that create a winsome culture. Everyone say winsome culture.
Winsome culture.
It is winsome because people want to be with your group. They want to join your group because of the winsome culture. Okay. It starts with attitude. Okay. Starts with attitude. When we cannot change a situation, we are forced to change ourselves. Choosing one's attitude in any given situation is the last of one's freedom, sabi ni Viktor Frankl, who was a Nazi concentration camp survivor. Nurturing the right attitudes towards yourself and others helps create a winsome culture, an environment where a winsome culture can grow, okay? Culture is very important. Many organizations have the right strategy but the wrong culture. Culture will either support strategy or sabotage strategy. If you have the right strategy, you must check, do I have the right culture? If you don't have the right culture, you change the culture. You don't change the strategy. All right, so how do you do it? You start with attitudes and values, okay? We'll start with attitude towards self. So I have a self-appraisal for you. What is your attitude towards yourself? Rate yourself in four areas on a scale of 10, where 1 is the lowest. As a breadwinner, 1, you don't make enough money to feed yourself. 10, you make enough money to feed yourself. Set aside money for savings. Help others. Rate yourself. 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. As a worker in victory, scale of 10, 1. You should be fired from your job. 10, CEO material. Rate yourself. 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Next, as a citizen of the country, scale of 10, 1 being the lowest. 1, you should be stripped of your citizenship and shipped to a remote island that does not look like Boracay. 10, you must run for president. You are the model Filipino. Rate yourself. 1 number. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Last rating. As a person, scale of 10, 1 being the lowest. 1, there is a question as to why you were born. 10, you are the model human being. Rate yourself. Scale of 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. According to psychologists, to prove to yourself you have a positive attitude towards yourself, the last rating should be the highest rating. No erasure. As a matter of fact, it should be 10. If it is not a 10, don't erase it. Just cross it out and write 10 beside it. Because I want you to remember how you rated yourself. Shame on you. Okay? Cross it out. Don't erase it. But write number 10 beside it because you are a 10. Everyone say, I'm a 10. And I'm absolutely sure of it. Ask me why. Because God said so right there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I mean, I've been meditating on this verse for 30 years. And wow, you take this verse seriously. The implications are staggering. You mean to tell me God loved me? You can personalize it. That he gave his only begotten son who died on the cross for my sins, blah, blah, blah. So that if I believe in him, I'm not going to perish or go to hell, but have eternal life, go to heaven? Yes. Wow. How valuable am I in the eyes of God? Who am I equal to as far as God is concerned? Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, you can argue probably more than Jesus. Kasi, ba't si Jesus ang pinabitay niya? Ba't ako'y nabuhay? It's amazing. Now, how many of you know Pastor Sonny? woman. I love that guy. He was showing this on the screen one Sunday. He said, tignan niyo naman mga kapatid, hindi basta-basta san, bigatin. I thought that was so funny. In a seminar, someone raises his hand. Sabi niya, Alex, it's good. You seem to be a believer. What if people don't believe in God? Where can they source the assurance that they're numbered, they're a 10? Ah, okay. Let's take God out of the discussion. We are on a super ferry in the middle of the ocean. The super ferry is sinking. We are fortunate. We are escorted to a lifeboat. It has a capacity of 75 seats. We clamber upon it. There are 25 of you, four at the back, me, or 29 people. 50-seater lifeboat. There are 21 seats empty. The lifeboat is being lowered into the water. Fortunately for us, we're the lucky ones. We got into a lifeboat. We are rowing away from the super ferry that is sinking. 200 people are frantically swimming towards us. We have 21 seats left. By any law, moral, civil, whatever law you want, we are obligated to save at least 21 because there are 21 seats left. There is no obligation to save more than 21 because it will capsize and we have no obligation to kill ourselves. Question, who 21 among the 200 will we save? Who will we save? What's the answer? Sorry? Stop murmuring. First come, first serve. Yeah. So, survival of the strongest swimmer. So, one big swimmer says, oh, pare, meron ba akong isa dyan? Oh, meron ka rito. Ay, yung anak ko, eh, hikain yun. Eh. Pwede ba sa kanya na lang? Eh? Oh, iyo yun eh. You can give it to anyone you like. Okay? So, we pick up 21 people, we row away, and horror of horrors, we see 179 people drown. Did we do the right thing? Can you sleep with that? I can. Because we saved 21 people. Did we choose the right 21 people? Should we have told them all, ladies and gentlemen, please tread in the water while we interview you? Oh, sige, any question? Rate yourself in a scale of 10. Okay? And we will compile all of the statistics. Those who, the highest points will be saved. Eh, probi pa lang po ako, lapang sweldo pa, no? You know. You can't. You know why? You know why it's okay? Because people are people. Any person is a 10. So you save anybody, you say it's okay. Because everyone's equal. The first three ratings, can I have one slide back? The first three ratings are ratings of performance. I can rate you as a breadwinner, worker, and citizen on very specific parameters. The fourth rating is a rating of value. You don't have to perform to become a person. By virtue of being alive, you are a person. And you have inalienable value. You're a 10. Regardless of how much money or how little money you make. You're a 10 regardless of how many rules you break or how many laws you obey. You're a 10 no matter how efficient you are at work or how lousy you are at work. You're a 10 as a person. Because people is people. So any 21 that we save from those 200 is okay. Because everyone is a 10. Now, God was not in that conversation. Even an atheist will agree with us. Because you are a 10. That is the truth. The reason why you must consider yourself a 10 is, number one, it is the truth. Number two, if you don't, you will never be able to relate to others as tens. You will never see others as tens. And you will not be able to relate with them on an unconditional basis. You will relate to them on a performance basis. And you will not build strong relationships as a result. Is it possible some parents will give a bit more affection on the gold certificate child and less on the green certificate child? One of the most intelligent people I've ever met was a magna cum laude graduate, industrial management in UP. He went to Stanford on scholarship. He did not spend one centavo, MBA. Then he went to Carnegie Mellon, master's in industrial management, on a fellowship. Again, walang gastos, okay? Very bright. He is so bright, when you talk to him, you can almost hear his mind work. You know, such lucidity, clarity, and he's a joy to talk with. His dream was to become a CEO of a significant company by the age of 30. He made it. He became a CEO of a pharmaceutical company, a subsidiary in the Philippines. By age of 35, he had regional responsibility within the same pharmaceutical company. Very successful guy. I met him after he was regional something of this pharmaceutical company. Very bright guy, very gifted, but I've also never met a more insecure person in my life. And I could never understand why. Later on, by accident, I stumbled upon what is probably the reason, but I'm not sure, but it's probably a reason. His brother was summa cum laude. I mean, is it possible? See, if you do not take people on the basis of their intrinsic value, you will tend to relate to them relative to their performance. And you will tend to have favorites. I tell my children, you know what? I would prefer that you were also summa cum laude, but my love for you will not increase 1%. On the other hand, I would rather that none of you failed, but my love for you will not decrease 1%. Because you're tense. So, yun, pinagbabagsak ng anak ko isang, ano niya. Nakikaw tuloy. And my sa loob ko, me and my big mouth. I mean, but you know what? I fought the temptation to relate with him on the basis of his grades. And do you remember the slide, Karina? Focuses on his destiny, not his problem. And today, that kid is doing very well. Thank you very much, Lord. So, you are a 10. Say, I'm a 10.
I'm a 10.
Okay, good. Next, attitude towards others, okay? I will give you 1 minute to do this survey. At this point of a seminar, I am conducting a seminar for a high-powered group, 13 people in the room. 12 are country managers of a multinational computer hardware company. You know the brand. I cannot tell you what the name of the brand is. So there are 12 countries represented, Philippines, Australia, New Zealand, Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, Hong Kong, the 12 countries in Asia Pacific. The 13th person is the VP of Asia Pacific. We are 13 people, and I'm conducting it in Tagaytay Highlands. They decided golf is cheaper in the Philippines, so they come here, and I'm exactly where we are now. And one of the Malaysian Chinese CEO, country manager, raises his hand. Alex Abinya, how do you develop a positive attitude towards others? As a seasoned facilitator, I get it right away. The question really means, I have a negative attitude towards others. How can I fix my problem? Most people ask their questions disguising it as if it was a third-party question. But if you're a seasoned facilitator, you pick that up. And of course, you don't want to embarrass anybody, so sakay lang ako. Sabi ko sa kanya, look, I want you to go to bullet number 3. I readily forgive an offense to avoid becoming bitter. Okay? I said, bitterness is the biggest block to developing a positive attitude towards others. Samya, please explain. All right. Let's say I'm working with this group here. One day they offended me. And I felt so offended that I walked away and I vowed I will never work with them again. I will never talk with them again. In fact, I will not forgive them. I carry my grudge. And I go to this nicer group of people here, and I'm now working with this group of people. The problem is the longer I carry my grudge, the harder my heart becomes. And the harder my heart becomes, the more likely I will fall into bitterness. The problem with bitterness is like this. I'm now working with this wonderful group of people, or so I thought. One day I say, wait a minute, these guys look like those guys. In other words, they're people too. You see what happened? My bitterness has clouded my vision. I now have a negative attitude towards everyone just because I have not forgiven that group. So sabi niya, all right, I get that. How do you solve it? Well, sabi, if you're really interested, according to psychologists, you visit the core of your hurt. Revisit the core of your hurt. What do you mean? You make a list of the people who have offended you that you have not yet forgiven. In fact, describe the offense. Offender, offense. Offender, offense. Offender, offense. Go back as far back as you can. I mean, the bully in kindergarten. The principal in high school who humiliated me. My mom, she was so strict with me in college. My dad, who was so unsympathetic. I mean, include God there because people are mad with God and they don't even know it. Samia, I'm going to need a lot of paper. Let's assume you have all of the paper in the world. Okay, Sabina, let's say I have the list. What do I do with it? I said, revisit the core of the hurt. As in, you relive the pain all over again. And then you make a decision. I release. I forgive. Then you go to the next offender and the next offense. Revisit the core of the hurt all over again. And you say, I release. I forgive. Palaki ng palaki mata niya. He said, Alex, wait a minute. Who can forgive that way? I go to the VP. I said, boss, I cannot answer that question because during the briefing in this engagement, you told me, Alex, we are a U.S. of A. secular multinational company. We have seen your resume. You're a corporate executive and you're active in your church community. You cannot talk about God in the seminar. I said, fine. But now there's a question on the floor. The only way I can answer it is if I talk about God, but because there's no other answer for me. Sabi niya, forget my briefing. I want to know the answer myself. Mukha kasing bitter din. So I go like this. I share the gospel. I said, okay, full disclosure, I'm a Christian. In our belief system, I didn't say religion, para hindi masyadong matigas. In our belief system, it goes like this. If I offend my brother, I offend God. We call it sin. I offend my wife, I offend God. I offend my children, I offend God. I offend my office mate, I offend God. So I'm walking around, I'm a sinner. In our belief system, you have a sin, you go to hell. In our belief system, God doesn't want me to go to hell. He loves me so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for me. Because the penalty of sin is death. If I believe in the death of Jesus pays for my sin, then I accept him as my Savior and Lord. In our belief system, I am forgiven. Okay? I am saved. The technical term is saved. Practical term is I'm forgiven. Meaning I can go to heaven. So, short answer to your question, I am an offender who has been forgiven. And in answer to the question, only the people who have experienced this kind of forgiveness can forgive. Kala ko, magagalit siya. You know what he asked me? Where did you learn this? Sabi ko, from my pastor. Okay? I didn't want to alienate them by telling them, I am a pastor. Sabi ko, from my pastor. You know what his next question was? Can you give me his phone number? So after the seminar, I gave him my email address. Sabi ko, write me an email. I will connect you with him. Okay? He never did. But my point is this. If there is any bitterness in your heart, deal with it. Because you will never have a positive attitude towards others if there is bitterness in your heart. Okay? So, if there is bitterness in your heart, you will not be able to relate with others well. If you cannot relate with others well, you cannot cultivate relationships. Therefore, you cannot become an influencer. It's the same way as saying you cannot become a leader. At the core of leadership is a forgiving heart. Did you hear that? At the core of outstanding leadership is a forgiving heart. If you scan the history of the world and you look at the iconic leaders of the world, okay, to a man or woman, they are big forgivers. In fact, Christian and non-Christian, big Gandhi used turn the other cheek, the principle in the Bible to oust the British from India. He believed in Christian methods, even if he himself was not a Christian. Okay, so you want to be a great leader? You want to be an influencer of people? Deal with the bitterness in your heart. And ladies and gentlemen, if there's a practical side benefit, bitterness makes us ugly. Totoo po yun. So, you want to look pretty and handsome? Deal with the bitterness in your heart. And you're going to be, what you want is people to tell you, sarap kasama ng tao yan. Ang gaang, gaang dalin. The reverse is, huwag natin isama yan. Bigat dalin yan eh. Pag dumarating yan, yung ulap nagiging madilim eh. Okay, when you're bitter, that's what you bring. You're bringing baggage. Okay, once you have the right attitude toward yourself and towards others, you are ready to focus on collaboration. Focus on collaboration, not combat, and seek win-win solutions. Conflict is inevitable, but combat is optional. Whenever there are two people, there are two different opinions, two different personalities. Conflict, differences are inevitable. It is combat that is optional. Okay? So be comfortable with differences. Be comfortable with conflict. But do not bring it to combat. Okay? So I'm going to have an exercise. How combative are you? I need a volunteer. Giselle, will you come here, please? Okay, because Giselle is in this. Okay? There are 24 of you, so we have an even number. I want you to get a partner. Yung katabi mo, partner mo, pwede na. Okay? I want each of you to get a partner. And I want you to look at what, please, okay? Okay, so do you know this? What is this? Okay, that is 1 point, this is 1 point. Okay, so get a partner. Everyone get a partner, stand up, on your feet, get a partner. Get a partner. Mas matagal pang setup kesa dun sa exercise. Are you ready? Does everyone have a partner? One, two, partner, come on, get a partner. Two, okay, three. Okay, now, 10 seconds only, okay? This is a competition, listen up. This is a competition among pairs. In 10 seconds, paramihan ng points. Are you ready? And go. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10. Time. Palagay ko marami nang nakatuto nito. Medyo. Oh, sige. Everybody sit down. Who did not get 50 points or more? Who did not get 50 points or more? We played it. You played the game. So, how many points did you get? Zero. Okay. Fine. The record is 54 for those who do not know the trick yet. Okay? Because apparently you guys have been introduced to this game, okay? In a typical environment where people are not aware of what the exercise is, when I say get a partner, okay, so they get a partner. And then when I say, do you know this? And they say, thumb rest, ah, papatayin ko to. You know, and then the way I process it, I tell people, ba't mo papatayin yan, partner mo yan? And then I said, this is a competition among pairs, not between partners. But you see, no matter the instructions are very clear, no matter the instructions, because we are wired for combat by nature. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Because of sin, we are wired for competition. We are wired for rivalry. We are wired for combat. The purpose of the exercise, and it's really hilarious because in typical seminars, no one gets it. And everyone's trying to break one another's thumb. And then when I tell them, you see, the reason why you all failed is because by nature, we are wired for combat and competitiveness. And the purpose of the exercise is to show you the truth so that you can regulate it. Because you are now aware, you are combative by nature and competitive by nature, you can regulate it and be less combative and less competitive, and therefore you can learn to collaborate. Okay, turn the page. Learn to ask for forgiveness and learn to forgive. Okay? We're talking about culture in your team. By the way, culture is not the job, it's the job of Steve Merle for the entirety of the Every Nation organization. But culture is your job because your persona, your behavior, your values will create a subculture in your team. No matter how small your team is, you are in charge of the culture in your team. And I want you to be aware, your personal behavior, your core values, your responses to situations will signal what kind of culture there will be in your team, okay? When you have things right, you will learn to ask for forgiveness and learn to forgive. I cannot overemphasize the need for humility, okay? I have two stories. One, learning to ask for forgiveness and learning to forgive. I am told I will be president of Del Monte on a Friday. It will be effective Monday. Prior to that, the VP who hated my guts and whose guts I hated in return was the VP for HR. Okay, of all VPs. All right? Now, so over the weekend, I'm now salivating. Wow. Patay ka ngayon. Ako boss mo. Before, we were colleagues. Now, I'm going to be the boss. And I had visions of what untold misery I can inflict on this rival of mine. The problem with being a person of reflection and having regular quiet time is the Holy Spirit convicts you. So over that weekend, the Holy Spirit kind of was telling me something like, not a nice thing to do, Alex. Lord, sambuan lang, not a good idea. 1 week, not a nice thing to do. Upakan ko lang, Lord, one day, not a very nice thing to do. Make a long story short, I come in Monday, I know exactly what I have to do. Betsy, my secretary, call Jimmy, the HR VP. Yes, sir. I'm seated on my presidential throne. I'm now president of Del Monte, Philippines. There are two chairs where mere mortals sit. Jimmy comes in like a true blue Filipino who knows his politics. He says, good morning, boss. Congratulations on your promotion. So little blue goes, sip, sip. But I don't say that. I say, Jimmy, please sit. In parentheses, where mere mortals sit. And I'm here on my presidential throne seeing Jimmy as a mere mortal. And I want to extend this movie as long as possible. But the Spirit, I know, is telling me, that's a not nice, Alex, not nice. I dethrone myself, and I sit where the mere mortal sits. And I talk to Jimmy. I said, Jimmy, I need your support. You have our support, Alex. The whole of HR is behind you. Said little boy, sip, sip. I don't say that. I say, Jimmy, I know we have not gotten along well in the past. Silence from Jimmy. In fact, Jimmy, I know I have offended you in the past. More silence from Jimmy. And then I went for it. Eyeball to eyeball, I said, Jimmy, will you forgive me? Now, kami pong mga lalaki, hindi namin kaya yan. Masyadong malagkit yan. Jimmy goes like this, Alex, there's nothing to forgive. He extends his hand. I grab it. We shake, and he leaves right away. Mahirap ba? Baka mag-lips to lips ako meron. You know, a relationship is restored, and we quickly discover why we hated one another's guts. You know why? We were exactly alike. Two men with deep convictions, who were passionate about their convictions, who were not about to let others win over them. And sa loob-loob ko, mabuti na lang. Kakampi ko na ngayon si Jimmy. Sa lahat naman ng VP, yung HR pa, 6,000 tao dun sa Del Monte. Well, you know what? Jimmy worked so hard for me. I'm president for 5 years before I retire. On my third year, Del Monte wins Personal Management Association of the Philippines Employer of the Year Award. We have been awarded that award twice in the last 30 years. The third time was when I was president. How sweet can life be? A restored relationship. Okay? When I retired, Jimmy retired. After, when we were both retired, he'd call me. We both live in the south end. Alex, Starbucks coffee. Miss na kita, pare. Wow. Sweet. Kala nyo kayo lang mga babae marunong mag-sweet kami. And by the way, we're both of us are straight. Okay, I assure you, we're straight. Okay, so you know, we're like this. We're like brothers. We are like brothers. We're like this. Okay. Learn to ask for forgiveness. When I was president, I just about offended every direct report of mine. I can write a book, How to Offend Your Direct Reports. But you know what? I can also write a book, How to Ask for Forgiveness from Your Direct Reports. I offended my marketing director. I asked him to forgive me. I offended the sales director. I asked him to forgive me. I offended the supply chain director. I asked him to forgive me. Sa awa naman ng Diyos, pinatawad naman ako. Now, my point is this. The grapevine picks this up. What do you think happens when the grapevine picks up that the president is asking for forgiveness from people that he offends? The pressure is on them to, the pressure cascades downwards. During my despedida, one of the girls said, Alex, we hate you and we love you at the same time. We love you because of what you did for us in Del Monte. We hate you because you've raised the bar so high. Sabi, I'm a very proud woman. My people have been waiting on me to ask for forgiveness from them because I've offended them so often. I haven't been able to do it. I promise you, because of your legacy, I will do it. Wow. Cultural. The effect is cultural, okay? So humble yourself, because when you do that, you're the leader, I remember. You are the inventor, propagator, and ambassador of the core values that determine the culture in your group. Also learn to forgive. My story on learning to forgive is as follows. I'm vice president in Del Monte. Marketing. I'm marketing all my life with editorial operations for 2 years. But I'm basically a marketing person. We are awarded best marketing company by the Asian Institute of Management and Japan Airlines and World Executive Digest, principally because of Del Monte Kitchenomics. Best marketing company. Other companies won in best in finance, best in operations, best in HR, blah, blah, blah. We are best in marketing, okay? I am the marketing VP. This is my 15 minutes worth of fame. This is my Oscar awards. I've arrived, okay? The protocol is when the MC says, Del Monte, Philippines, the president goes up, picks up the VP marketing, well, that's me. The two of them will walk to the podium, get the award from no less than President Cory Aquino, the late Cory Aquino. Take a picture with the president, say thank you to the crowd, and go down. Then the MC says, next company, best in operations. My boss was an expat. His name is George Error, as in typographical. True story, that's his name. Okay? Ako na lang naglagay nung as in typographical, all right? He is 2 weeks old in the Philippines. Okay? So we are in our Sunday's best. I bring my bit-bit ko, marketing department, advertising agent. Boy, and dami kong bit-bit noon. Dami kong pala. And the moment came. Del Monte, Philippines. George Error, as in typographical, stands up. He walks straight to the podium. Gets the plaque from Cory Aquino. Takes a picture with Cory Aquino. Says a speech. Goes down. Now, let me repeat it in slow motion, okay? George Error goes up, forgets a certain vice president. My people in slow motion are running to me like this. I can remember seeing. They want to carry me. I am catatonic. I'm on my chair. They want to carry me to the stage because I don't want to move. Okay? I remember telling them, pare, wag nakakahiya. Let's not make a fuss. But I am livid. I am angry. Sa awa ng Diyos, pagkatapos nung gabi, there is a group picture of all the awardees. So I have a picture with Cory But I feel like a photo bomber, you know. You know, I mean, I missed the main picture, all right? I couldn't sleep that night, to be honest with you, okay? By the way, yeah, I'm now a believer, okay? Next morning, I'm the first one called by George Error as in typographical. I walk into his office, sit where mere mortals sit, and he goes like this. Alex, you have a dumb boss. Saludo ko, you better believe it. But I don't say that. I see a mug of Mongol pencils, newly sharpened, and a Quentin Tarantino movie plays in my head. I'm getting one of those Mongol pencils and puncturing the jugular vein. The blood is flirting out like this. But I have to cut that picture as quickly as possible. But that's what I felt, okay? Instead, like a true blue hypocrite, I said, George, it's okay. I extend my hand, we shake, I leave, I forgive George Error. Yeah, right. It took me 8 months to forgive George Error. Because every time we meet and I see those Mongol pencils, the movie replays itself all over again. You know, I learned something about forgiveness. It is this. Are you ready for this? You don't have to forget in order to forgive. Sabi ni God sa Bible, and their sins I shall remember no more. Anong ibig sabihin nun? Ano? Divine Alzheimer's? No. The divine hard drive does not crash. Your sins, my sins are there in full view of God. So what does he mean? What he means is he's a prosecution attorney with damning evidence. But he voluntarily will set aside the evidence. He will not use it against us. So I took 8 months. Christian na ako. So much for my Christianity. It took me 8 months for that anger and bitterness to get out of my heart. But on the outside, I was forgiving George Error. And I was, actually, that's true. I was forgiving George Error every day for 8 months. Because every day for 8 months, I was also hating him. But I had, you know the dialectic? You know, you sin, you forgive, you sin, you hate, you forgive, you hate. Until I like the way we put it in Victory. You don't feel like forgiving anyone? Well, fake it until it becomes real. You know the principle? The heart eventually will follow the head. Because like love, forgiveness is a mental thing, you see. So, patigasan lang ng ulo yan. Kung talagang gusto mo magpatawad, patigasan lang ng ulo yan, pare. Sooner or later, the heart will follow the head. So eventually, I forgave George Error. So, pero to be honest with you, ito, kinikwento ko palang, nagagalit ako na konti. But, you see, now, the grapevine picks this up. So there's now a culture of, if there's a culture of forgiveness and a culture of humility, wow, that culture is hard to beat. It's going to be winsome. It's going to be, wow, I want to be part of this culture.